Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to pass on talking about injuries. Since Rich, he's not here, has all the answers, so you guys can get all the injuries from Rich. Well, I'm telling you to ask Rich. Well, you better call him.
No disrespect to you or Rich, but like, we want to hear from you.
You guys have been hearing from me, but now since we're just reporting stuff, you know, that I haven't said, then maybe you should ask him.
That is New York Jets head coach Aaron Glenn, and boy, his first year has not been a good ride at all.
The Jets? No way.
I know. Oh, man.
No matter how good the idea,
yeah,
the New York Jets find a way to go, but what if it was with the Jets?
Yeah, let's see how
I love
much
this idea, but what can we do to make it worse?
I love the Aaron Glenn hire for them. I thought he was somebody that could bring in a better culture for them, quote-unquote adults in the room sort of deal. No, it's been the exact opposite. It has been a tire fire there kind of from day one, because now you look back to even the handling of Aaron Rodgers seems now more petty than anything. And This clip kind of points to that might be more his nature. I don't know.
It might have been Aaron Glenn actually just deciding.
That's him. That's who he is as a guy.
Yeah.
And now here, he's getting upset because reporters tweeting on injuries. And now he's going to make everybody else uncomfortable. It's so weird and just kind of off-putting.
Not everything has to be a fight, especially when you're 2-7.
Well, and that's my thing, too. Take a look in the mirror. There's a reason why people are going to be more critical. You're 2-7. You started the year 0-7. Your quarterback can't throw more than 70 yards. He got 41 of, like, what, Justin Fields threw 55 yards. He got 41 of them off a Breece Hall pass. There's a reason why, man.
And, again, not everything has to be a fight. That's the thing. Glenn has become so combative over, like, quite literally anything at this point, because this is not the first time he's done this year.
No.
Like, all you have to do is just settle in, man. Know that the questions are going to be a little rough. You signed up for this. You don't need to fight back every time. You're in year one. Pace yourself, man.
Right. Make some friends in the media. I mean, it gets some allies here.
Not even that.
It's just he's picking a fight with everyone. Well, but it.
It's pace yourself, too, though.
But if next year they're not good, you haven't got anyone in the media sitting there go, guys, give him time. Like I know the vision. I've talked to him. He's going to have a bunch of people going, yeah, I can't wait to get him out. Good. Yeah. Let's go. Let's pick up the process here.
I'm just more or less at the dog. It's year one.
And you're right. Pace yourself.
Pace yourself.
Oh, just. Yeah, it's the Jets. I mean, what's even surprising at this point? They're going to have 2 firsts next year and 3 in 27, and they'll probably botch it somehow, some way. 803-0550, the number to call. We were talking Bills in the first hour. We took a little bit of a detour there with Paul Hamilton. Talk to the Sabres tonight as they're in action in Utah. But we will get back to the phones, and we'll start this segment off with Sean on the line. Sean, what's going on, my man?
How's it going, Zach? Hope you guys are having a good day.
You as well.
Thank you. All right. So let me premise this conversation. I'll try not to be long-winded. Let's both agree. We are in agreement that Joe Brady was the passing game. Let me say this again. The passing game coordinator at LSU when they set all the records, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
So let's go into this real quick. I am not like a fandom. I'm more of an analytics guy and a film guy, and I actually watch this stuff, this all 22 stuff. So to get to the point, I watched NFL Live the other day when Orlovsky was breaking down, and I'm going to piggyback off the last caller that was actually talking about before you guys went to Paul Hamilton. But basically the route concepts are playing. This is the passing game coordinator, not the running game coordinator. This is a passing game coordinator for Joe Burrow. Pass game concepts are vanilla. They're non-creative anymore. So my point was, I'm glad, even though there were reports that they were in on Olave or Waddle or whoever, this wouldn't have made any difference if we would have spent all these first-round picks or whatever we were going to give for these people, because they wouldn't have been able to come in here in a half a year, get up to speed on Joe Brady's system. Like, they need to – I feel like they need to put more on the players as far as play calling is concerned. So, in other words – Joe Brady, if his stuff is becoming vanilla, man, like after 6 weeks or something like that, start switching up your pass route concepts. Stop with the deep overs or the layered concepts and stuff like that. And that's what Orlovsky broke down on NFL Live that I was like really intrigued with. And he said even when they go to checks at the line and stuff like that, it's like two different plays. That's it. There's no creativity. So in my opinion, I'm glad they didn't spend anything on a receiver, because all that did would have hemmed us up for the next couple years without having draft picks. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, either he gets better as a creative play caller and not be so vanilla where defenses finally know and they're catching up to him, or B, you fire the guy and you get a passing game coordinator in here and then you go after the assets. That's all I wanted to say, guys. Hope you have a great day, and interested to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Sean, thanks for the call, man.
Appreciate that.
You know what's funny about Brady, too, is you bring up passing game coordinator. I mean, ignited a fire in college football. It is, the 2019 LSU offense is still the most fun and aggressive and stylish offense I've ever seen. It was just
right.
Deep bomb after deep bomb after deep. Everybody's open. There's first-round talent and all-pro talent everywhere. It's incredible. And Brady, in many aspects, is considered the architect of that. He's not the OC, and he's not even really the full-time play caller, but he is considered by many the main architect. And then he goes to Carolina. And what does he get fired in Carolina for? Passing the ball too much. Matt Rhule wanted him to run the ball more, and they weren't running it enough. It was putting too much strain on their defense. They weren't a good team, but they were passing the ball a ton. Curtis Samuel has a career year with Joe Brady.
As a matter of fact,
it is, weirdly enough, just a Buffalo thing where all of a sudden the boundary receivers is a real problem. He can't get any use out of them. It's becoming very vanilla. I mentioned this too. Like, Dan Orlovsky's not the only one that's brought this up. Greg Cosell, when he goes on One Bills Live, has acknowledged the passing concepts are not very good. It is very strange, because I will never forget when Brady was hired following his firing. I was taking over for Joe DiBiase, who at the time was producing, and we were switching out. And we both looked at each other and went, that's the heir. He will be the Bills offensive coordinator at some point, and thank goodness. Like, we were excited for that guy.
Yep.
And now that he's taken over, it has been very weird that it is not the passing game that has all of a sudden reignited itself. Because the LSU Joe Brady, and even the Carolina Joe Brady, you would have thought, give me all the receivers, baby.
Yeah.
That's what I work
with.
Load me up. And instead, it has been much more of ground and pound, control the line of scrimmage, and dominate with the run game, and limit possessions. And I think that has been him, because you go back to Sean McDermott's comments from the last few weeks. He's not happy with the passing game. He has mentioned not wanting to lose the fastball in years past with wide receivers. It is such a curiosity with Brady. And it is also something that does make me more concerned going long term of, dude, what happened? This was not the Joe Brady that was built up to eventually become an offensive coordinator with Carolina and is now still being looked at as potentially the next head coach for LSU. That's why they want him. It's 2019. But 2019 feels so – I mean, it is long ago, but it feels forever ago.
It feels forever ago. And I think that some of this also has to do with – I don't want to go ahead and bash what he did at LSU, but he does have incredible talent on that roster.
It does help. That is fair. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Joe Burrow will help things. That's absolutely true.
I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not a good – pro running back, but he was fantastic at LSU.
Mm-hmm. And Thaddeus Moss at tight end.
Yes.
Randy Moss's son.
Yeah, so all I need to think of in this point is there is something to the coaching. Brady has shown to be almost unimaginative at times or predictable in others.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up.
You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Can they win, though? Yes. Things do have to go right. They have a dominant run game. That gets you somewhere in January.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I'm not saying running the ball is bad. I'm saying that when your offense is predicated on if your running back is getting off and you have an MVP quarterback, that's a problem.
The only problem here is they've become the wrong kind of one-dimensional when you have Josh Allen this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's weird. It's survivable in games. You can still succeed. But I'm sure as hell going to look at it and go, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that James Cook has to be the one that succeeds in order for this offense to get going and not Josh Allen? I don't know. I don't like it. It's weird. It can work in January, but it's weird. And I think that that alone is enough to get people concerned. It's weird.
That, I mean, yeah, like ultimately it would be one thing if your quarterback was Daniel Jones.
Right.
All of a sudden it's, hey, we need to kind of build a system around him to cover up his flaws and to make sure we're not putting ourselves in bad situations. Jonathan Taylor. They've also loaded up with weapons there, and we're also seeing,
they have
too,
tons of pretty good receivers there.
And there's moments where Daniel Jones looks awesome, and you're like, oh, man, like it was all the Giants' fault. Recently, though, not so much. You know, Jared Goff with the Rams, I think, is a really good example of this. Early in his career, who is the bell cow for that Rams offense? Who is the engine that gets that baby going? It's Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley in those early Sean McVay, Jared Goff years is the guy. He gets that baby moving. But they also had Robert Woods, who kind of entered his prime. They had Tavon Austin, I think, as well. They had good weapons all around, and it was able to keep going. That's my biggest issue. It's not the fact that they are running the ball and that James Cook is good. Far from it. Good. They need elite players on the offense.
It's that when he's not,
they don't have another option. When I look at the Lions, they want to run the ball. They can also throw the ball. The Rams are one of those teams as well. Philadelphia last year, they're weird. It's up and it every year they are.
Kevin Petullo is a bad offensive coordinator. He should not count for any analysis this year.
But a team that they're about to play, when they're healthy, Tampa is more than happy to run the ball with Bucky Irving. They also have a plethora of wide receivers and a passing game that allows them to, when they go up against a team, like the Bills are going to go up against Tampa, who have only given up 100 total rushing yards three times this year, they can sit there and go, cool, it's going to be the passing game today.
Carolina also gave up less than 50 yards in a three-game stretch, mm-hmm. like per game.
Yeah.
And they decimated that. So it's all about, can the Bills just execute it in the run game? It is the problem that this offensive coordinator has suddenly turned the key component of the offense into the running back.
Yeah. Back to the phones. JD is up next. JD, how we doing?
Doing good, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just want to say that, I think that Bean is paying a big price right now. First of all, I put the blame on players who get extensions and then don't mm-hmm. live up to them, unlike James Cook, who does. I think that Bean has some big problems on his plate here, which is, number one, Keon Coleman. And if you watch the All-22, you can see it's a struggle for him to get open. But he's paying the price for that. Another thing is I don't blame him. I don't blame Bean for going big on defense in the recent draft, but there really should have been at least one wide receiver. Bean is paying a big price for these half measures at wide receiver in terms of Samuel, guys like this. I also don't think that letting Mac Hollins walk away was a real good idea. I thought that Hollins did real well and communicated with Allen real well.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen looks to me like a guy who really does not have the weapons that he needs. But I think Bean is paying a very heavy price. So I'll just conclude with this. The one good thing the Bills have done this year is they paid James Cook and then they went 50% of the game as the running game. That's the best thing you can do for Josh Allen. Limit him to maybe 25 or 30 throws a game. The running game clicks along. We lean on the running game The running game has been a great, great asset this year. But the entire wide receiver room, Bean has a big problem. And, again, half measures are availing him little. And I'll hang up and take your comments.
JD, thanks for the call.
Thanks, JD.
And half measures, I think, is the right way to put it. Mm-hmm. And what's frustrating, maybe more than anything, is when you look at the raw numbers, the offense isn't bad. They're sixth right now in points for. They're averaging 27.6 points per game. That's the most irritating part of this whole thing, is that if the wide receiver room... Here, Seattle. They draft Torrey Horton in the fifth round. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's a world beater.
He's been a fun piece for them.
But he's been a fun piece for them. If all of a sudden Torrey Horton is drafted in the fifth round by the Bills or the fourth round, and he's part of an offense that has Kincaid and Coleman maybe is in a more comfortable role and Shakir and Palmer, that spreads them out. You saw it last year when they brought in Amari Cooper. It allowed everyone to just move down a slot in the offense and work in their more natural roles. It is the half measures. It's why you hear that he was in on a wide receiver or maybe multiple on trade deadline day. It is why last year they had to go trade for a wide receiver in Amari Cooper. It has to change this offseason. They're going to have other issues. Probably a linebacker. We'll see about edge. We'll see about offensive line. But the wide receiver position has been ignored, I think, because they believe Josh Allen will make it work with anybody. Because to a certain extent, he does.
And interesting that you bring up Seattle, though. Clint Kubiak is becoming one of these guys that people are suddenly focusing on. He was the offensive coordinator with the Saints last year.
Yeah, he's a dude.
Gets brought over to the Seattle Seahawks. And he seems to be very good at what he does here. He worked with Kevin Stefanski back in Minnesota. He has hopped around a little bit here. He worked with the Broncos with Nathaniel Hackett.
There we go.
But
welcome to the show, Nathaniel Hackett.
But Hackett hands play calling duties to Kubiak to end his season before he ultimately gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
He jumps with the 49ers, learns under Kyle Shanahan. Then he goes and he's the guy in New Orleans, and now he's the guy in as the OC with Seattle. Kubiak is an interesting young coordinator that teams might flock to as well.
Oh, I think when we're starting to wrap up the year and the head coaching cycle begins,
might he is going to be that more guy. Favor.
And here's the thing, too. It's year two now for Darnold, but it's still Sam Darnold. And if they're putting up big numbers, and let's say, for argument's sake, go to the NFC Championship game, his name is going to be really brought up a lot. We'll see if he does the Ben Johnson route and maybe wants to hold on a little bit here, or if he strikes the iron while it's hot. We'll see. 803-0550, the number two call. Join Sal Capaccio and Matt Beauvais for the live recording of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel on Tuesday, November 18th from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Don't miss this upcoming events at Batavia Downs, including Thurman Thomas's tailgate party on November 20th and the Batavia Downs bar crawl on November 28th. Visit BataviaDownsGaming.com for more. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, we're with you till 12 o'clock when Sabres Live takes over. You're listening to WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.